Hi, this is Patience. I mean Sapience from Turbine, and you're listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor.
Hi, this is the person pretending to be Patience, not Sapience, and you're listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor.
Welcome to episode 13. I'm your host, Merrick.
And I'm Golden Star.
And today we actually have a very special edition. It's not going to follow our normal format. We're not going to cover the news in this edition. We're thinking maybe we'll have a micro edition this weekend, if possible, maybe later in the week covering the news. But we really just wanted to get this out. And why don't you explain what we have today?
We have a very special interview with Turbine's own Patience and Sapience.
Yep. Also known as Rick and the woman that he hired.
The voice actor Megan.
Yes. So we just want to take one brief instance and thank them once again for coming on the show. We really appreciate them taking time out, especially with Mirkwood on the horizon and the test right before, the day before. So just really great of them to come out.
Yes, thank you very much, guys. And also, we wanted to give a quick warning that we had a baby hobbit as well as one of our dogs misbehaving during the podcast. So we apologize for any baby noises and barking that we were not able to cut out.
Yeah, but we think that the interview is going to be quite enjoyable, and we think that you'll like it.
Yeah, so here you go.
Gather around, you youngins. And I'll tell you what it was like when I was a man.
Today we have Megan and Rick from Turbine, also known as Sapience and Patience, and apparently their names are swappable because you never know which one is which. But thank you for joining us on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yep, thanks.
Let me go ahead and say we have also a special guest star. The baby hobbit makes her return today.
Yeah, she's still awake, so you may hear some baby noises.
Yeah, you'll probably hear lots of baby noises. But let's go ahead and start. So how long have you guys been with Turbine?
I guess I'll start. I will have been at Turbine for 5 years in January.
Oh, well, congratulations.
I've been there just a little over a year now.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, and they threw you on the forums.
Yeah, well, baptism by fire.
That's right. You asked for it.
This is true.
Yeah.
Wow. So what are y'all's current role at Turbine?
So I am the senior community manager. I started out, you know, again, almost 5 years ago as the community manager for Middle Earth Online, which, of course, eventually became the Lord of the Rings Online. But over the last couple of years, I've actually sort of been moving more and more out of that role. And Rick's actually been, you know, moving in behind in filling it, as well as Freelorn, who's not on tonight, filling in on Lotro as I take more of a, you know, obviously senior role in the department. So I also manage the community managers for DDO and Asheron's Call. So I kind of head up the whole community team, as well as, you know, Turbine, of course, has been branching out into a lot of social networking, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, even Flickr. We just started a Flickr account. So I've been sort of spearheading that community side.
Awesome.
If you take it all and compress it right down, it means she's my boss. So when you're mad at me, call her.
And they do.
And they do. A lot. I am an online community representative. Basically, my job is to deal with Lotro players and herd cats, which is kind of the same thing.
So he's selling himself short there. He actually, over the past year, has stepped into most of the community management roles for Lotro, at least on the PvE side, Again, Freelorn is handling the Monster Play community, which is sort of its own community. But yeah, Rick's selling himself short because he, at this point, is handling all of the dev diaries and getting all the info out to the players and staying there late at night. And when they call me in the middle of the night now, I turn around, I call him and go back to sleep.
That's true, actually.
That's true. So he's actually, patch notes, release notes, which are a huge project. He's handling those now. So he actually has quite a bit more responsibility than just forums.
Wow.
I actually have them open on my screen as we're talking.
The forums?
No, the patch notes.
The patch notes. Ooh.
You didn't hear that from me.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't hear them if you sent them to my email address either.
I heard them.
Patch notes are crazy because they could.
But you can tell me about the stuff that I want to know about, because the stuff I want to know about is just like emotes and what kind of dresses.
Yeah, the cosmetic stuff. Yeah.
Everybody's going to be like, why did she ask that?
It's funny.
You can emote on horseback now.
So patch notes, it's funny because, you know, at least for when you have something like a beta, when it's been in development for a while, the patch notes don't come all at once. When we do book releases, they tend to come, you know, we try not to do patch notes throughout the development cycle because so much changes that you wind up wasting a lot of time going back and revising what you already have. So they often come just sort of everything all at once at the end, and you're on a very short deadline to get them together and, you know, ready for consumption by the players. And I know Rick's got his own stories to tell. I know that I've done them, you know, on laptops, in laundromats, in the car on the way to and from Six Flags, you know, like squeezing in any extra moment. I think they're huge. So, and I expect that the CJ Merkwood notes will not be any exception to that.
Oh, I'm sure those are humongous.
They are quite large. And just to give you an idea of how all-consuming it is, I actually carry the patch notes around on a little USB key. And anywhere I have time in a computer, I kind of work on them a little bit. So they're always with me and always foremost in my mind.
And it's mostly things like, you know, a lot of it is just copy editing, you know, because not every developer writes the same way. So you have to go through these thousands of line items and trying to make sure that everything's consistent and spelled correctly and hyphenated. God, the hyphenation with Tolkien's works. hyphenation alone is a nightmare. But yeah, it's pretty big. So,
is LOTRO the first MMO you guys have been involved with?
For me personally, it is actually the first MMO I've worked on. But from a player standpoint, I've been playing for about 10 years.
Okay, so what was your first, as a player, your first MMO?
My first as a player was EverQuest. I go pretty far back.
What about you, Patience?
So this is the first, I've worked on games for, going on 14 years, and Community actually even longer than that. This is my first MMO, or these are my first MMOs, I should say, at this point. LOTRO was my first full-fledged MMO that I worked on. The first one that I played. You know, I used to play on games on BBSs and then mudding. I was a huge mudder. I lost many, many hours of my life to muds. And then the first graphical MMO was probably Meridian 59, which is sort of like way back machine there.
Right, I remember. I remember that.
Yep. So. And then UO.
And then UO, right? You played on what server on UO?
What was the Pacifica?
Pacifica, okay. I was on Great Lakes. So.
Yeah, I was on the West Coast. So,
awesome.
And it's funny because I remember, like, I would, if the server was down, man, I would just be, you know, they didn't have forums or anything, but I would be out there on like Usenet or something complaining about it.
Oh, we had IRC open for just like guild chat because, you know, there's only spatial chat in that game. So, or there was only spatial chat in that game.
Yep.
Do you guys play LOTRO?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Rick more than I do.
I play LOTRO entirely too much. I don't. The last couple of months, I simply haven't had time with beta and everything to play as much as I want. But yeah, there's just a disproportionately large part of my life devoted to playing the game. So yeah.
So
yeah, it's funny how the more you work on games, the less time you actually have to play them.
Yeah, same goes with podcasts and blogs. I found.
I've had.
It's keeping up with you guys. You know, it's really difficult, especially at this time when you guys are like, "Hey, let's throw out a dev diary." Well, I'm sure it's not. That's not like just the decision, but with your dev diaries, you know, speeding up, it's pretty difficult. Especially since I'm like a designated dev diary reporter on our site.
It's kind of it's like let's throw out a dev diary or 20.
Yeah, and thanks for the incredibly technical ones the past couple of days. That's been a lot of fun to read up on.
I'm glad someone enjoys those because we get to edit them, and they're not necessarily fun to edit. because if you make a small change, it dramatically changes what's being said. So there's a lot of back and forth with the developers to make sure that what we edit to make it readable doesn't change what they're trying to say. So I'm glad someone enjoys them that much.
I do enjoy them. It's just been, since I haven't had to concentrate on that aspect of the game, not being at max level, that's when I usually delve into it. It's kind of been a crash course into learning some of this stuff. And wow, some of those guys talking about induction times and cast times and the different or the different speeds of skills, it's kind of been, holy gosh.
What level are you guys now?
We are 56.
Oh, nice.
Although somebody is probably almost 57 by now.
It's not my fault you play with your alts all the time.
Yeah, I know. So what is your guys' main character level race class?
What do you want to tell us?
You don't tell us the name, for Lord's sake.
Well, you know, they may not want to say just because people say, oh, they favor blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
I don't know.
I think if you read the forums, mine's pretty obvious.
Is it something that goes pew-pew?
Yeah, it's something that goes pew-pew. I have a level 60 hunter. It's Race of Man, and it is at the level cap. And I also have an almost at the level cap lore master and a tank that I just run around in circles on.
Okay, that's cool.
Yep, and no secret, my main is and always has been a Hobbit minstrel.
Yay!
Yep, oh. She is not at the level cap because she spends way too much time just screwing around in the game.
Hey!
Y'all could be bestest buddies.
You thought that patience and sapience were the same. I think it's Golden Star and patience. We're like the same person.
Yeah, she's actually kindred with the Scholars Guild, and she's supreme. And I'll ask her, so can you make this die? And she's like, I don't know. I just make them when I want to. I don't know which ones I have.
Yeah, mine is a tinker, actually.
Okay. Oh, okay. So what is the first character you guys ever made? Ever?
Oh, that's easy for me. I think it was a Race of Man champion, because I think that was like the only thing that was actually in the game at the time, because it was alpha.
Oh, okay.
Free alpha.
Wow.
It is to this day my main, actually.
Really?
Race of Man. I actually started playing LOTRO before I worked at Turbine, so there's many years worth of playing the same character.
This was like a dream come true for you. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
That's awesome.
There was a lot of effort to get there, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he actually got plucked out of the community. So I don't think a lot of people realize that Rick was actually a player first before he was working at Turbine.
It is amazing what sucking up to Megan can do for you.
Oh, yeah, man, it took you years, though. Oh.
That's true. It did.
Were you not very good at it?
No, he was. That's why he's working
for me. It's a learned skill. It takes a while to hone it just right.
Wow. You should release a guide, How to Get a Job at Turbine, Sucking Up to Megan.
Yeah, start there. So, should I put out my mailing address?
That's right. Yeah.
I accept all kinds of pie and cookies.
Yes. Yeah.
What other games, and not specifically MMOs, do you enjoy?
So, a lot of console games for me, although I'm playing Borderlands right now on the PC. I tend to like games that I can jump in and out of quickly, so, just because of time constraints. Oh, and iPhone games.
Awesome.
I tend to have phases where I'll do console games for a while, and even within console games, I'll do Xbox for a while, and then I'll do PlayStation for a while, and then I'll do handhelds, and then I'll do PC games for a while. But as far as a genre, if I had to pick one genre that I gravitate towards other than MMOs, probably Sims. Not The Sims, but, you know, simulations, particularly flight sims. There was a period of very heavy addiction to a number of flight sims where I actually could do fuel calculations in my head. It wasn't healthy.
Oh, wow. I remember when Microsoft first came out with Flight Simulator, I had a friend who played that all the time, and then what was the F-16 game that came out where it had like...
Falcon 3.0, actually the game I was referring to.
Where you had like hour-long missions, and he loved that. He loved it to death, and he's actually a game designer now. He worked on Dungeon Runners, actually, for a while.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Falcon 3.0 is a good training ground for anyone who really wants to crunch numbers in an MMO, because it makes you think constantly.
The first game company that I ever actually worked for was Nova Logic. So we did, they weren't hardcore flight sims, definitely like Jane's. Jane's had a lot on our games. But we had the Comanche and F-22 Lightning II.
Very cool.
Which was funny because I was not really a huge flight sim player. So, and yeah, that's a whole like different community.
Yep.
For sure.
By the way, played both of those.
Do you remember Armored Fist?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Okay.
What is your guys' favorite aspect of Lotro? Is it like leveling, playing your alts, monster play, raiding, whatever?
All of it. I think one of the great things about Lotro, at least if I'm speaking as a player, one of the great things is whatever I have time for, I can actually do in Lotro. If I have time to go run a quest and nothing else, I can jump on and do a quest. If I have a Sunday afternoon free, I can do a raid. So I really enjoy all aspects of the game.
Okay, fair enough. Megan?
You know, it's funny. I love the atmosphere in the game, especially, you know, as a hobbit coming into the Shire is just awesome. And, you know, not to throw too much love out to the community. No, I'm going to throw lots of love out to the community. I really love the players. I really love, you know, every time I log in and it's like, you know, nobody knows who I am. I'm not on a kinship or anything like that because I tend to drop in and out of the game, you know, and I fear commitment. So no kinship, but I love coming in and just interacting with the players and sort of seeing what's going on and hearing them interact. You know, of course, I'm on like GOOC and GLFF. Just really, really like that. But again, you know, just running around sometimes, my boyfriend plays with me as well. There was this one time when, you know, as a minstrel, I was trying to grind up my res deed. And I don't know, we just do goofy things where we went to Trestle Bridge and he would take off all of his equipment and hold, what are they, the notes of affection in his hand and shout something completely emo and jump off the bridge so that I could run over and res him. And I just, you know, I just, yeah, really like that. I like that we can just go in and kind of screw around like that. And I don't know. Lotro's got a lot to do in it, whether you want to just sit and fish or whether you want to go raid. It's just, it's very multifaceted. I think a lot of MMOs are, but I think Lotro really nailed it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, definitely it's one of the games that it seems... In other games that I played, those that are the most hardcore, that are raiding and things like that, have the worst things to say about the game, and it seems just to be the opposite here, where those who are lifetime members and love the game have really great things to say about it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's also, you know, just having watched the community grow, I mean, some of the people in the community have been there since the original forums. I mean, when I started on the forums, there were a few thousand basically really hardcore Tolkien fans. And that was the core of the community. They were not there for the game. They were not there for the MMO. They were strictly there for the lore. Some of them have left, and some of them have stayed. And here we are, you know, 5 years later. I mean, they were around there even before I was. So some of them, you know, predate me by a couple of years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so it's cool to see them, you know, still there, still playing, still enjoying the game.
Yeah, I think Jackson92 said he actually was following the game since it was first announced. Before, mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, he's definitely one of those who's been there a long time, so I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's cool.
So, what are you guys looking forward to the most with the release of Siege of Mirkwood?
Not having to do patch notes anymore. That's easy.
That's true. Beta is pretty rough. beta is definitely rough.
In all seriousness, player reactions. I'm really looking forward to seeing what players have to say once they get in and experience the whole thing. I think it's going to be really exciting, and I think they're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm with Rick on that one. You know, one of the things that I'm really looking forward to, you know, I'm crossing my fingers, but I'm very optimistic about are the combat changes. One of the pieces of feedback that we got, you know, right from the beginning was a lot of people felt the combat in Lotro was sluggish or too slow. A lot of people liked it. They really liked the pacing. I know as a minstrel, I didn't mind the pacing at all. But some people just didn't like it very much. So I'm really looking forward to see sort of how that changes. You know, Lotro has changed a lot since it launched, you know, for the better. And I think this is really going to be one of those things that makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. I didn't get to test my champion last night. But when I first started him, I have to say that was the one class that felt kind of off to me. That I just, I guess in my mind, I imagined it just to be swirling blades constantly, and it didn't feel like that. But from what I've heard, Champion said that they equate coming back to live game as swinging bricks around because they like the combat changes so much. So I'm looking forward to that. As far as with the Guardian, I did notice that it was a little bit smoother, but it's hard with a guardian since, you know, most of my skills are reactionary anyways, and the rest of them are pretty fast. It's hard to really notice that much of a difference. But that's what I'm looking forward to probably the most. That and actually getting out of Moria, which I could do right now, but I haven't.
Yeah, a lot of people say that about Moria, which, you know, I mean, it makes sense. Moria is not supposed to be a place you want to stick around, right? Yeah,
well, but on our kinship forums, they're talking, they're almost sounding like they're claustrophobic with their game because they're just like, I can't wait to be out in the open again. Like, we've locked them in a closet.
It's not that for me. I just feel like it's an accomplishment because I'll have progressed past level 56.
you know, it's funny you mentioned players commenting that, you know, they feel claustrophobic. When I hear that, I think, outstanding, that's the point. You know, it is claustrophobic. You're underground. There's millions of tons of rock hanging over your head. It's small spaces. And then you walk out into these very large, you know, sculpted caverns. And I think the dev team got that right. If players are complaining they want to get out of the mines because they're claustrophobic, I think they did a great job.
That's true. Although, you know, I'm going to go a step further as to, I don't even think about, and this isn't meant to slight any of the level designers, but I don't even think about that. When I get into an open space, I think about, wow, the dwarves really did a good job here.
Yeah.
So it's that immersive. At least to me, it's just, I think about it in the terms of this is where the dwarves resided. Because it's so faithful.
Yeah, it is. They really did. I mean, it's funny because people were kind of blown away by Thorin's Hall at first. And, you know, and then Moray came out and Thorin's Hall is like just a little kind of, it's like a little blip in the radar now.
With the NDA lifted, are there any features that you've been dying to tell people about?
Ooh, see.
No, I think we've been pretty straightforward about what's in this. I don't think that there's anything in this really that we haven't talked about or in at least one sense or another. You know,
it's true.
Yeah, I think we've been pretty transparent about what's in Siege of Mirkwood overall. I mean, we have a Yule festival coming up that we haven't talked about. But,
that's true. There is a Yule festival, but I kind of tipped people off in the forums yesterday and let them know there is a new horse race coming. So.
Ooh, awesome. We did see that was in beta. At least I saw in one of the people's screenshots that there were Yule festival things going on in beta. So when can we expect to see that coming?
The Yule festival, mid-December.
Mid-December.
So a couple of weeks after launch, I expect.
When can we expect to see?
The 14th.
The 14th, I believe, is where it's at. Yep.
I love festivals.
And there's one thing coming in the Yule Festival everyone is going to absolutely love, but I'd be killed by a certain developer if I told you what it is. You'll see.
So I'm going to hit on a little bit of a change. We saw an interview done with Zam a couple of months back, I believe, with Megan, that there were plans to tie MyLotro with Twitter and Facebook. Is this something that you guys are still planning?
Yeah, it's stuff that's still in the background, and you know, we're definitely going to keep trying to evolve the MyLotro and the lore book, along with you know, we also have MyDDO and the compendium, which are the sort of the analogs on the DDO side. And we're definitely going to be trying to bring more of that stuff actually into the game, and tie those into more external sites like Twitter or Facebook. We have to be kind of careful with it. I know that some games have already attempted, you know, updating your Twitter feed every time you level or finish a quest, and I think. As it is, most people have actually turned that off because they were spamming people. You know, they just felt like they were spamming other people. So we'll have to be pretty judicious in how we implement it, but it definitely is something that we still want to do. And, you know, there's some plans in the works.
Okay, excellent. So are there any features in MyLotro that we can expect to see with the Mirkwood release?
Well, we'll definitely be updating all the content. I don't think we have any major feature releases for MyLotro just yet. So it'll be basically updated for Mirkwood with all of the content. Just like we would do with books or with Moria, you know, all of the quests and items and everything else. And that'll happen right around the time Mirkwood launches.
Okay. So how do you guys feel the stress test event went?
Oh, well, as anyone who was present at the event will tell you, it did not go according to plan, but it was very productive on our end, as it pointed out, you know, as stress tests are meant to, things we need to tighten up before we launch. And so from our point of view, last night, I know it was frustrating for a lot of players, but from our point of view, it was really a rather positive event.
Okay.
I noticed that Bull Roarer was still active the next morning. Are there any plans to allow the general public continued access to Bull Roarer?
I know they're discussing it,
at levels much higher than us, but I don't believe they made a final decision. I know players who were part of the event last night should still be able to log in today, but I can't say for certain how long that will be available.
Okay. So I think with that, we're going to start on the player questions.
Unless there's anything you want specific to Markwood or anything you want to discuss first.
I don't think so. I don't have anything.
Nope.
Okay.
Other than I want to say for the record, I do know who Megan is in game, so I accept all sorts of bribes.
Oh, okay. Well, just tell me if you need to fill out any of the Duck Army, and I will send them right to you.
Okay, we're going to get to some of the questions. So I have them kind of broken up. First, we have some Mirkwood questions for you guys. This one's from Az. It says, is the launch of Siege of Mirkwood looking like it'll have similar issues like the Mines of Moria launch? He was specifically talking about lag and long wait time and queues.
You know, I think that almost any MMO, when they have a big launch, is going to, I mean, it's not going to be like every other day.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, with, you know, one exception would be the Shadows of Angmar launch, because basically everybody was already in. We just flipped the switch. So there was no transition. But yeah, I don't, who knows, right? We're actually in many ways in much better shape than we were a year ago as far as data centers and infrastructure. So hopefully. But if there are server queues because, you know, so many people try to get in, well, then we're just going to have to do it. Hopefully there will be no lag.
I think the best way to put it probably is if you think of an MMO launch or a new content update or an expansion launch as kind of like Black Friday, you know, everybody lines up in front of the store and there's trampling and pushing and shoving and everybody gets in the store. And, you know, it's a little bit of madness in a can, really, is what it is.
Well, you know, I have to say that yesterday on the stress test, I was logging in, clenching my teeth, going, okay, this is going to be painful. But I could move around just fine. It was fine. I was surprised.
Yeah, there were a lot of players commenting last night that lag was not the issue that they had expected it to be. Which, like I said, I know for a lot of people it was frustrating, but we learned a lot of really good things last night.
Mm-hmm. No, so, the general rule that I've always followed is don't play on launch.
Yeah, if you're going to take days off, take it like,
the next
or three
day.
Days.
Yeah.
yeah. Definitely. But, you know, again, I think that we are in significantly better shape than we were a year ago. I know that especially with DDO and Asheron's Call, boy, we had moved them into a data center that wound up to just be a nightmare. All those middle of the night calls were almost every night. Mm. And it was pretty bad. Lotro, thankfully, was not affected. So I think that I think this year we're in actually better shape than we were for Moria. And I know Moria did have some issues. I didn't think they were that bad, though. To be honest, I don't see people really talking about them. So.
Okay. He also had a follow-up question. I've seen the introduction of Mirkwood as instanced, much like the Gates of Moria was. When doing the Gates of Moria with my fellowship, you know, he went in and he was in a fellowship, and half of his fellowship went to two separate instances, even though they were still in a fellowship. He wants to know if that kind of bug has been fixed.
Kind of two answers in one there. First of all, yes, we do have a section of Mirkwood that you go through, similar to the way you had to progress through a little area before you could get into Moria. And the reason that we do that is to prevent some of the things from the first question, like lag and server queues and long wait times and, you know, 3-minute scale executions. You try not to stack people up in one area. The fellowship getting split like that should not happen. It's not supposed to happen, but with that many people in one space, sometimes it does. And if you see it, certainly submit a bug on that.
Okay.
And the thing is that we can test for this. We test for this stuff till we're blue in the face. But the way the code is, when you're testing it on your test servers and you know, even your public test servers like Bulroarer, it's a completely different animal once it's out on the live servers with the entire population. It really is.
Yeah, we both work in the IT field. We know that.
Yeah.
We have one from Kuzar. I hope I said that right. Will Mithril Flake drop rate change once Mirkwood launches?
The drop rate. Wow, how to answer this? The drop rate is not going to change. However, there are numerous crafting items available through skirmishes. How's that?
Okay.
Yes, I actually saw that on the Curiosity Vendor.
Next, we have a question. We have two questions from Hobbit and Redhead. Since we love what Orion is doing with the Lone Lands, and we've seen mention of possible future improvements in the west and east halves of the North Downs. Can either of you speak to that?
Orion is an island. he
he has a very definite plan for what he wants to do with those regions, and I think the best piece of advice either of us could give would be to watch his blog. If you want to know what Orion's doing, check his blog.
Okay.
Okay. Can you prod him to update that more often?
Oh, we don't prod Orion.
No, you don't.
We don't have to prod Orion. Orion tells us.
Okay. Fair enough. Yes. Fair enough.
Did he say island? I think he meant force unto himself.
So. Well, I was kind of thinking like, you know, an island with battlements and its own navy.
No, he's, yeah, he's awesome. Again, we've worked with him for 5 years, and he's been at Turbine forever. Really great. I really love the changes that he's made so far, and I think so far, so is everybody else. So.
Without question. He is absolutely dedicated to improving LOTRO in any way he possibly can.
Okay. The next questions that we have are about future plans and enhancements to the game. We have some questions here that were asked by several people, so we just kind of lumped them all into one group. Changes to the housing system. That's a big one. Is there anything on the horizon about that? Specifically, they were asking things about having neighborhoods for kins or a Lothlorien or a Moria neighborhood or stuff like that.
I talk to the team a lot, and this is actually a discussion that we have rather frequently.
Yes.
And it really boils down to, we have this great big pile of things that we want to do, and we have 24-hour days.
Right.
So it becomes a question of, what do you choose? What's the value to the largest number of players, and can you get it done in the time you have to do it? And unfortunately, right now, housing isn't really one of those things that's high on the list, but it is on everyone's mind.
Yeah, yeah. It was, like I said, it was one of the more popular questions that we got asked when we said we were talking to you guys.
Well, it's a question that says, you know, that gets asked constantly and always has, really. So I don't know if a lot of people who didn't play LOTRO when it launched realize this, but... LOTRO didn't even have housing when it launched.
Mm-hmm. I just bought a house not long ago.
Yeah, if I can't even remember when it was introduced. I think maybe it was within the first couple of books, book 10, book 11.
Somewhere between book 10 or 12, I believe.
Yeah, so that's right, because Cosmetic System was book 12, if I remember. So it was probably around book 10 or book 11. And that was a pretty huge undertaking. And a total revamp would also be a pretty huge undertaking, because that's a lot of engineering resources, a lot of art, and art is one of the most expensive things, mm-hmm. Not just monetarily, but just, you know, from a just development resource perspective, is one of the most, you know, costly things. So that's a pretty big system. It's something that we know the community wants, and it's something that we always ask for, and it's always on the list. It just winds up getting deprioritized in favor of something like skirmishes.
Right.
You know, or a Runekeeper and Warden class, that kind of thing. So,
okay. Are there any plans for more live hosted events on the servers, or more special events like the Pirate Day or the, you know, the Bilbo and Frodo birthday? We had one person, Mish Grant, suggested letting the creeps out of the moors for a day.
Ooh.
Oh, you know, that sounds like such
chills.
A good idea until... Yeah.
Wait, the development team has a saying that's a really great idea right up until the point where the servers crash. So letting the creeps out of the moors is a really great idea right up until... Yeah. Live events is something we know everyone wants. We want them. The developers want to do them, but they're hard to do, because what you're doing is you're saying, here is an event and it's going on in this specific space.
Right.
Everybody go there.
Yeah, you're creating lag, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The live event will become, how much lag can you create and how long will it last before you crash the server? Mm-hmm. That's really the primary issue with live events. Not that we don't like them.
And that's
the other thing is, and it's funny, you know, this is sort of like one of those things that I guess a lot of players don't realize. Like, you know, the horse races were always broken, right? Let's talk Hobnanigans, right?
Hey, now.
I know, it's a sore subject, right? Everybody loved Hobnanigans. The content team, in many ways, to create these things, are doing things that were never intended to happen. Like with the horse races, the problem with the horse race is that, you know, it might, just because of the way latency works and everything else, you know, you might be in the race and it might tell you that you might see that you win,
right.
But then it tells you that someone else did.
I think that happened with
because these are systems that were never meant to happen. So they have to try to, you know, and then And then, you know, the players get mad and we wound up having to pull it. So it's actually an ongoing conversation, usually between engineering and content, with content saying we want to do this and engineering say, but you can't, and this is why.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, I think that definitely happened to me once in both ways, where I thought I lost and I won, and where I thought I won and I lost. And I think it was Harperella who put up a post.
She had a screenshot from her fellowship. Her fellowship had a race, and they had the screenshot from every character, and every character showed themselves in the lead.
That, like, that is a perfect winners. Example.
It really is. And just to bring up one more example, April Fool's Day this year. So that was awesome. That was really cool. It was something, you know, that we planned internally for a while, and everybody was really excited. And then, you know, we turned it on, and then the chickens started getting one-shotted. And when you load into the game, that's one of the times that the server actually gets hit the hardest, because it has to load all of your character data in. Mm-hmm. And so what we had was all of these people who would go in as a chicken would get one-shotted, and then the server would have to load their character in.
Oh, man.
And it was like, never
it was
really
a launch
thought about
day
that.
Rush. As far as the server was concerned, it was a launch day rush.
Yeah, wow. And the chickens, it wasn't intended that they should be one-shotted like that. just because of that bug, you know, it was like huge load on the server and we had to shut it down. So live events, and especially like the festival events and things like that, can be kind of trickier than some of the systems that are not generic, but, you know, there's something that everybody's put a lot of thought into.
Okay. There's a question about when will there be a fix for the issue with high power video cards, specifically those memory greater than 512 megabytes. There was a rumor to be in the spring, but we're wondering if you guys had a date for that.
This is actually something that I've spoken to Bunsen about, and it's on Lotro.com. There is an article about this. This is specific to Vista. It is a way that Vista changed its handling of memory in the 32-bit version. And what ends up happening is Vista takes all of your system's memory and crams it into one space. It doesn't care whether it's video memory or system memory. And the way it was explained to me in non-technical terms is Vista sees 4 gigs, and if you have a video card that's, let's say, a gig, and you have 4 gigs of system memory, you have 5. So Vista says, I have 5, okay, here's the 4 you can use, and your video memory and whatever's in it tends to be dumped out, which usually is your game, and you get dumped right out with it. So it's actually a memory handling issue in Vista. Moving to a 64-bit OS, problem gone.
Okay, because I use a 64-bit OS and I hadn't seen this. What about Windows 7? Does it still carry over?
It is a 32-bit OS issue. So yes, if you have Windows 7 32-bit, you're going to have exactly the same problem. If you're going to move to Windows 7, move to Windows 7 64, and it should clear up for you.
Okay. Will there be opportunities to buy Lotro-branded goodies, best described as junk I can put at my desk? Specifically, you know, people brought up, like, figure prints. I know I've looked for, like, posters and, you know, t-shirts and things like that.
So that's a tough one because we did not, you know, we have the license to produce massively multiplayer games based on the, online games based on the Lord of the Rings. What we didn't have was merchandising rights because, you know, if you're selling a shirt, you're essentially selling merchandise that's based, you know, in one way or another on the Lord of the Rings. So I know that we have been trying to get those rights. Whether we have succeeded yet, I don't know. Something that we all want to do. At the very least, we would love to put Turbine-branded merchandise up.
Right.
And, I mean, that would be cool. So, you know, but that's, you know, one of those projects that everybody goes, yeah, we want to do that. And then nobody actually sits down and, you know, nobody owns it. So, at least not yet.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a lot easier for someone, you know, like WoW has merchandise everywhere. And it's easy for them because they own their IP.
Right.
Know, they don't have to deal with licensors. So,
and so that everyone understands, we all have desks that we want to put junk on too. So,
oh yeah,
you're not alone.
Yep, we like swag.
We have another one from Kuzar that says, "Do you guys envision introducing any more classes?"
I don't know.
At this time, and I personally, and I'm probably talking out of school here, I personally haven't heard anything.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean it can't happen.
I'm going to go ahead and extend it. What about races?
We haven't heard anything at all. Yeah,
same place on that one.
No problem. We have one from.
And if we told you, we'd have to kill you. So. I had to say that.
Our next question is from Moondog. Is there more landmass in the pipe?
Oh, always. We have all the way to Mordor.
That's right. Seems pretty obvious to me, but
he was
one of the ones that was really talking about being claustrophobic in Moria.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. There's a lot of land between Eriador and Mordor. So yes, I mean, the obvious answer is yes. As far as where we're going next, we are not talking about it yet. So.
Okay.
Okay, and the next one is not really so much questions, but demands, and this is from Memio, and he would like more varied mounts, Pi, Rohan, specifically as Helm's Deep Skirmish, and I'm definitely with him on that, the ability to ping the mini-map for Fellowship members, more hobbies, and more fishing outfits.
In that order?
I guess.
Sure. Actually, I'm going to say Pi first, then Helm's Deep Skirmish.
Gotcha.
Okay, we're going to have to spar him for the Pi.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. You got the Duck Army. I might have to concede.
Wow. Yes, no, maybe, sort of, kind of.
Okay.
Oh. How's that?
Well, let's...
Not necessarily in that order.
Well, this might be an opportunity. When you guys see something, obviously... You guys are one of the front lines on the forums. When you guys get a suggestion or when something goes into the suggestion forum, how is that handled?
That gets relayed actually to the dev team, and they're reading it too, also. Most of our developers don't post, but they all read the forums.
Oh, I see.
And that's one of the ones
posting.
They could do. So a lot of stuff in the game is directly based on player feedback, not just from class changes and things like that, but also just, some of the festival content even that's coming out. Is as well. So.
Yep. I know players get frustrated sometimes when we move their posts to the suggestions forum, but really we're doing them a favor because the dev team is going to go looking in the suggestions forum for a suggestion. You might get more players that see it in the general forums, but the dev team is going to see it in the suggestions forum. And the best example of a suggestion ending up in the game is probably Mounts 2.0. Mm-hmm. Tons of players' suggestions to changes to mounts.
I'm fishing.
Became, yes, fishing as well.
I was going to go
all
with
of
Ghost Bear.
Okay, our next question is from Kaylin. Can we do a thing where you shut off the UI in piecemeal? Like, just turn off the radar? They said I could just put that on the suggestion board, which we just found out is a very good idea.
That's an excellent idea to put it up on the suggestion board.
Yeah, that's actually, Frosty. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He's our basic UI guru and all things UI, and he's always looking for stuff like that. So he's probably looking I can send that directly to him. That's actually a really good idea.
Would that be something that if possible through player skinning?
Yes, actually, I have seen people. Yep.
In fact, I've seen a lot of player skins that turn off the inventory bag icons at the bottom of your screen.
Yep.
Don't do that anymore. They're not useful.
They're on the menu now.
Yeah. And along the same line, we have a question from Ryle saying, can we have better scaling of the UI? Okay. He wants to catch up with people using big monitors.
Yeah, we're getting there. Boy, speaking of player suggestions, you didn't used to be able to scale the UI at all. Yeah. That was one of those things that was implemented and then will hopefully be iterated and improved upon.
Great.
And from Bex, we have, are there any plans on switching to deed gating instead of gear gating?
Oh, my favorite subject, gear gating. There's a lot of talk about ways we can improve the system, change the system, and other systems maybe in the future. There's nothing definite, but there's probably as much conversation on our side as there is on the player side.
Yeah. They've already started a lot of it in Mirkwood, implementing some of that.
Mm-hmm.
At least with the Radiance gating.
Yeah.
I know.
Read Amlog's blog.
Yeah.
You'll find out a lot about Radiance gating in Amlog's blog.
Yep.
Okay. I know that I've seen this all over with the dev tracker and everything, but Bex also asks any plans to add an option to turn off or limit XP gain?
Turn off or limit XP gain. I see it all over the forums too, and I know there's a really devoted group of players that are determined to bring it to our attention. And They have been heard. There are some changes being made to the way we do Welcome Back Weekends, to where it won't always be an XP boost.
Okay.
There are some other levers they added that we can play with instead of just straight XP.
I like the XP game. I'm still trying to get to 60.
I do too. I level alts like crazy during Welcome Back Weekend. As far as an actual option, that's adding a system to the game, and that's another one of those things where we have this great big pile of stuff we want to do and 24-hour days.
Mm-hmm. With the addition of DX11 next year, are there any plans to update the character models, animations, and additions to the landscape?
Well, that goes back to that art being one of the most costly costly things that you can do just in terms of resources. I don't believe there are any plans to do any kind of like wholesale update. I know that the animators, with almost every update that we do, at least major update, try to improve the animations. I don't believe there are any plans to just across the board, you know, make changes.
All right.
So, I mean, all of our animations, you know, they're hand animated from start to finish. And, you know, so again, very costly. So.
Our next question is from Longest. It says, my question is actually if Turbine plans to include The Hobbit, supposedly to release in late 2011, content in future expansions, or if they're even allowed to do this.
You know, I don't know. I mean, it would be awesome to be able to release stuff right around the time The Hobbit movies, but I don't know.
Do you guys have the license to Hobbit content, or is it just the Lord of the Rings on that?
As far as I know, we do.
Okay.
So, you know, if that's changed, no one's told me. But that's been my understanding from the beginning.
Okay. That's good, because there was some speculation about where Mirkwynd's in the north, right just south of where the Wood Elves are and where the Hobbit went through. But there was speculation that there might have been lost.
I think you can probably chalk things like that, you know, where we choose to cut off areas. I think that has more to do with the time we have to develop an area. Mm-hmm. And you literally have to draw the line somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think you'll find that if you pulled the team, that just happened to be the random place they drew the line.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know how we all put on our little tinfoil hats and we're like, they're doing it so we can't have the Hobbit stuff.
It's a conspiracy of conspiracies,
that's
I tell
right.
you.
Our last section of questions are all about you guys. Or Turbine. So we have some people who had some specific questions for you guys. Phoebe asks, are there any advice for people who want to work in the gaming industry?
Oh, wow. I should probably answer that one, huh?
Yeah, go for it.
Strangely enough, I'm going to give you the same answer I used to give people when I did radio. Literally go out there and take any job you can find. And in the case of the games industry, you even have, you know, the ability to just go out and do it. If you want to be a programmer, go grab a game that has a really, really good set of mod tools and build an amazing mod. And that becomes your resume. If you want to do, you know, community, go out and build a really great community around your favorite game and get the developer's attention. And, you know, just go out there and prove that you can do what it is you want to do. And you can. You can end up getting a job.
Mm-hmm. I would know. He would. So been in the games industry for about 14 years. So I've, you know, seen a lot of people sort of come in, and I did too. I started out with community. I started out, you know, volunteering on local BBSs, and eventually was hired full time by one of them. At the time, it was the largest, subscription based BBS in LA, which, you know, was only 3,000 people, but these were, you know, 3,000 people who were logging in every night and, you know, and I was wrangling them, et cetera. That's not a position where you can make enough money to really survive. At least it wasn't for me then. So I, through somebody I knew, I got a job doing tech support at NovaLogic. And then after a little bit, I picked up a lot of skills there. Just like I started doing outreach online on Usenet, you know, writing the tech support documents and things like that. And then Interplay, they knew they needed somebody online. They didn't know what to call the position, so it was online marketing manager. It actually turns out that it's community, but nobody knew what to call it then. So that was how I got in. But to doing community just in the games industry. But for people who want to be designers, I know a lot of designers who started out in QA. Because when you're working in QA, you get to learn the tools and the systems. You work very closely with the development team. A lot of times you wind up with, you know, people on the team mentoring you. You learn all about scheduling and process and all of those things, more so even than you will if you go to school for game design. There's a lot of people who went, you know, who have degrees from game design schools who are looking for work because they want to jump right into design. And a lot of times you can't. You have to start, you know, you have to get your foot in the door. So when Rick says, you know, do whatever you can, absolutely, you know, but that also I would suggest to people, don't necessarily try to get a job at a game company at the level that you think you're at. You may need to come in at one that's lower and sort of prove yourself. And as most people in the industry will also tell you, it really helps to know someone at a game company.
Yeah, so, I bet it does.
Yeah, so,
which is why, if you can get a position, take it. Because then you'll get to know people. And people within this industry change jobs to other companies within this industry. And now you know someone over there. And you'll know someone at the next developer. So whatever the job is, if you can get it, take it.
Right. That's actually, and that goes for, I would say, any job. That's what I had to do to get my current position was take a lesser one and mentor with a team while I got the official degrees. And that experience got me into the door of where I am now.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some people who, you know, make complete lifestyle changes to get started in games because that's what they really want to do, you know, and it pays off for them. Does it pay off for everybody? No. But, you know, if that's what you, if you find that you really want to get into the industry and you're having trouble, maybe sort of evaluate some of the ways that you're trying to do it and, you know, and look for some other ones. And that may include a lifestyle change. So.
Right.
Okay. Her next question. We answered a couple of them, so I'll just skip to the one we haven't answered. Do you guys have a favorite non-turbine game?
Wait, I want to guess. I want to guess Megan. Okay. Well, she mentioned one earlier. So that, I'm not going to take that one. I'm going to guess Rock Band.
You know, that's funny that you should say that. Yeah, because Rock Band and Rock Band 2 are probably games that I always go back to. So,
yeah. Yes, there have been many nights with the entire team playing Rock Band, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I live about 5 minutes. Yeah, I live about 5 minutes from Turbine. You know, I have a big TV sound system. And so, yeah, the community team will come over and, you know, we'll order pizza or something and just rock out. So
awesome.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. But I am playing Borderlands right now. I mean, you have to love a game. I got this shotgun that shoots rockets. and in the description, in this game is you know, it can come with different stats, but it's always called Terrible Carnage. And in the description, it says, "Holy crap! It shoots rockets!" And I just love that. So,
okay, are you guys fans of Tolkien? Have you read the books? And this one is for Beric. Do you consider listening to an audiobook the same as reading a book?
Yes.
You heard that.
No, I did not.
I actually reread the entire Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit right after I started working for Turbine. I tend to read them every couple of years, and I have read pretty much all of Tolkien's works. I've read a lot of Christopher's work as well. I think one of my favorite books actually is Tolkien's Letters. And just really kind of getting a sense of who he was and what he thought about his work and its effect on people. And yes, listening to audiobooks counts.
Oh, he's going to love that. How about you, Megan?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember my dad was actually reading The Silmarillion to my older brother when I was, I don't know, I think I was like maybe 5 years old. And, you know, I didn't understand much of it, but I definitely remember listening to it. And so I grew up with Tolkien. And, you know, it's funny how many things you look at now, how many games or books or things like that, and you realize just how much of it really stems from his works.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so awe-inspiring sometimes. And yes, I have read the books. I've read most of his works. So, but I wanted to say, does reading in digital form count?
I think that reading in digital form counts. But okay, Merrick doesn't want to read the books. He wants to just have an audiobook read to him.
It's not that I don't want to. It's easier.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. I have to say, I'm on board with reading audiobooks. And it's funny because, you know, the George R.R. Martin books.
Yes.
My ex and I, when I first started working at Turbine, lived 60 miles away from Turbine. And it was 70 minutes each way to and from Turbine. And I read the first three of those books out loud.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you were the audiobook.
What was that?
You were the audiobook.
Exactly, right? I'm like, I could have recorded that audiobook. So, yeah, so I think, you know, I think it's definitely a very different experience than reading, you know, with your eyes, reading text. And I think sometimes I think you might miss more of it. But I mean, we all have gotten to like the end of a page and realized that we just completely missed, yeah. like, you know, yeah. we didn't read the first half our eyes saw. We
that
didn't
was actually... mostly in school where it's like, I'm done. I'm at the end of the page, but I don't remember reading a single thing.
Yeah. So I think I don't think there's anything wrong with audiobooks, you know, as long as you are paying attention.
She says that's in school, but I've caught her dead asleep with the her reading light on and her book open. So,
I'm a tired yep. woman.
Okay, so Harperella, she would like to know about GMs and devs in game, just because this is an aspect of the game that we don't really get of a glimpse into. So, do they play on the live servers often?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Now, when they are in their official roles, I'm assuming they have godlike powers.
Mm-hmm. So the GMs, of course, have godlike powers. All of the developers have accounts where they have godlike powers. Generally, the developers won't, they'll be invisible, you know, and cloaked so that nobody knows they're there if they're, you know, checking out, you know, lag in an area or something like that. The GMs, of course, will interact with the players. But most people at Turbine also have, you know, personal accounts that they play on. And these are just straight up the same accounts as everybody else. The characters don't have any special privileges. It's actually policy that you're not allowed to identify yourself. If you're on your personal account playing your personal characters, you're not allowed to identify yourself as somebody from Turbine.
Okay.
So they all play anonymously. There's a lot of people out there that I've grouped with who don't realize that they grouped with me. There's a lot of people out there who regularly probably group with developers and employees all the time without realizing who they are.
You never know.
There's one of the producers on LOTRO, her mom used to play. I used to group with her mom.
That's pretty common, I think, that there's you get people and their relatives like that. So that's kind of cool.
Absolutely. My entire family plays. We all play together. People have grouped with me that probably don't know it on a number of servers, actually.
Cool. So her last question, well, you answered if they can go invisible. Now, can they materialize first stage items from thin air?
Yes, and as soon as you pick them up, we will smite you.
Okay. I would assume
it's kind of a give and take.
I assume that it's possible, but you might as well. You might have need a good reason to do it.
That's pretty much the purview of GMs, and yeah, they would have to have a really good reason that they could defend later to their bosses why they did it.
Okay, and just to confirm and kind of stress it, their godlike accounts are very different from their personal accounts.
Absolutely, they're completely separate.
Yep. Right.
Very cool.
Turbine's one of the few companies that, well, I shouldn't say the few companies, because there are only a few companies that have had issues. But Turbine's never had any issues with, you know, employees doing things that they're not supposed to, because it is a really strict policy. I mean, you don't mess around on the live servers. You mess around on the live servers, I mean, you could lose your job if it was serious enough.
Right.
So, yeah, it's taken very seriously. And I think, you know, it's for everybody's protection, really.
I think, so. Were you guys, we were not playing LOTRO at the moment, but I'll go ahead and mention one of your competitors, if that's okay. Okay. When I think it was Blizzard who was replacing an item for an individual, and they sent it through
this.
The mail, and they actually fat-fingered it and gave them
yeah.
a developer item, which I was a guide, which is kind of like a community person for EverQuest, but you had escalated items. And the way that they gave players on their accounts with their guide characters, they gave them their special abilities through different items. So, your head could shrink you, one could make you turn invis. I mean, you had a couple of commands, but the way that they really escalated it was give items. So they gave an item to this guy who had, like, I think it had, like, 50 charges or 25 charges. But it would kill anything instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't...
Oh, jeez.
It wouldn't delete
the corpse.
This. So
yeah.
It was right when Ulduar was released. And so they went through the 25-man version of it and pretty much cleared the whole thing with using this item.
I remember that they one-shotted him.
Yeah, they won. Well, that's how they could tell, was that the damage was just, like, incredible, insane. I mean, it was, like, off the charts, like, in the millions. So,
yeah. I mean, I would say that that was more of an honest mistake.
Right.
You know, definitely, than anybody, you know, anybody doing something that they shouldn't have.
But it's kind of like, wipe your forehead.
But there was speculation, though. I remember that.
Yeah, and in case anyone's hopeful, I'm not aware of any items in our game that are even remotely similar.
The closest thing we have maybe is the Nerf Bat.
The Nerf Bat?
The Nerf Bat and the Turbine Shield.
Oh, the Nerf Bat and the Turbine... Well, now
the Nerf Bat will send you flying.
And the Turbine Shield has the Turbine logo on it.
Oh, and the Hobbit Jetpack.
The Hobbit Jetpack? Are you serious?
Yeah, she's very serious.
That's
actually
awesome.
Although it's available to all classes.
That's very cool.
But you know, I'm not even sure that those are on the live servers. Those may only be on the test world. So.
Oh, that's cool. Well, all I know is I want the weapon that was in the Lotrecast video, where one of the vendors in a trade space had a gigantic weapon. You'll have to go see it. It's actually pretty cool. I'm sure it was purely accident, but it had a gigantic weapon.
Like it was abnormally sized for
the person? Oh, yeah. No, it was like huge. It was like Final Fantasy obnoxious.
Final Fantasy obnoxious.
That's actually how he described it. It was probably a mistake, but it was very, very cool.
I can just see the rumors flying now.
It was actually in the beta.
Wow, weapons come to Lotra.
It's in the crafting hall that's in the beta inn. I can't.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Where you guys have characters all named after yourselves.
Yeah.
It was in that crafting hall.
Of course, they made me short.
Yeah, they made you a hobbit.
Hey, I don't
hobbit
even have
bard.
One.
Oh, you don't have one?
Oh, that's true.
If you see me in there, it's really me, okay?
Okay.
Don't try to click on you, because you're not going to... Longass wants to know, I was confused with Sapien saying he's not patience in the recent dev chat. I guess Patience is the senior community manager, but would it be nice if they could explain actually who is who and how they got to pick such supposedly telling names?
Well, I think we already went over who's who.
Right.
Although, she's the senior community manager, but in terms of age, I'm her senior.
That's true. That's true. I might be short, but you're old.
Oh!
Older.
But I'll just keep hanging on to that. So.
Okay. You're still sure.
So as far as names, when I was applying for the job at Turbine, and this was, you know, toward the end of 04, I was checking out all of their forums. And at the time they were interviewing for a community manager for DDO and a community manager for Middle Earth Online. And so they weren't sure which one I was basically interviewing for either position. So I went and I signed up on the forums, and I needed a name that I wanted something that was not associated with anything that I actually use in my personal life. And so
patience.
I chose patience. I'm not very patient.
There's no patience in her personal life whatsoever.
So, it's pretty funny.
Especially if you get your apostrophes wrong.
Those hyphens. So I was rereading Robin Hobb's Farseer trilogy at the time, and there's a character named Patience, and Patience actually happens to be my daughter's middle name as well. So that's what I chose, and it turned out to be just the absolutely perfect name, I guess, for a community manager, because it gives everybody this it gives everyone this mental image of this very patient person, which is great because I'm not, so
thus the whole
marking
people with red pens.
Well, I thought that you picked it to like remind yourself to be patient while you're
answering stuff. It's funny that you mention that, because I actually do, when I make a post, I actually sign it. You know, I don't just rely on the signature. I actually type patience, and very often that would be sort of my reality check. Should I post this? Or should I just, you know, hit cancel? So, yeah.
As far as Sapience goes, a lot of it's very similar. You know, it was my first or second day at Turbine, and Megan comes up to me and says, by the way, you've got to pick a forum name, and it can't be anything you've used anywhere before. Let me know. So you're kind of sitting there at your desk going, yeah, geez, what do I want to be known as? And I sort of have this really bad habit of trying to find a word that has multiple meanings that aren't really readily apparent. And I was going to originally go with wisdom, but I thought, you know, that's a little too straightforward, so let's do Sapience. And if you actually go to my Lotro page, my avatar is a gorilla. So yes, there's kind of a subliminal message there that sapience is the thing that really makes us human. And if we lose that, we're really not much better than a primate. So it also serves as kind of a reminder to me to be judicious when I should be and have fun when I don't have to be.
That's good.
You think too much.
I think entirely too much.
Wow. So it couldn't be something that you never used anywhere else. Wow.
Yeah, I'd be like named Chair
and do it.
Or something retarded.
Yeah, I would have to get a thesaurus.
Yeah.
My name is Mousepad.
Yeah, please God, not the first thing you see.
It was almost Dell. It's just what was looking back at me when I stared at the screen.
Surprised you didn't pick Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I had looked to my left, it might have been.
Yeah. And even in some ways, the choosing a different name or whatever than you use in your personal life, it's a really good idea because it allows you, as long as you always are careful to protect your, you know, whatever you use in your personal space, it allows you at least some freedom to interact in other communities. Never your own, because, I mean, it's sort of it's actually I wouldn't say it's an unwritten rule, but it's, I guess it's not written, but... We pretty much have a rule that you do not ever, ever start a fake account to troll on your own message boards, you know, to post the things that you want to say, but you can't.
Right.
So having that sort of fresh start and that new name allows you a little bit of protection in that sense. So,
yeah, well,
it's a good message for players, too. If you're going to create another account.
Yeah.
You're going to get caught.
Yeah, right? No, it's true, though. Because any number of things can get you caught. So it's just, it's not worth it. So.
I can imagine. Does it get difficult coming up with like dual personalities and having like dual accounts for things? And, or do you just,
well, no,
I mean, do you
not
just
at all,
because
there's work, you know, there's work and then there's, you know, stuff that I do in the personal life. I think that's the point we're trying to make, is we actually within our own communities don't have multiple personalities. Like, well, Rick might, but
that's his own thing.
Yeah, we don't have
that
multiple
problem when I'm alone in the room with myself. So,
so, but none of us have, you know, like secondary or anonymous accounts that we interact with the players. We only interact on our forums in an official capacity on our official accounts.
Okay.
So,
yep. Sean McSeventy-four would like to know that he welcomes our new duck overlords.
Skynet goes live on Tuesday.
Excellent. Excellent.
And the duck army will be by soon. Actually, the duck army was kind of a really bizarre, spontaneous thing, and I blame Tolero entirely. Halloween is Tolero's birthday, and Clover made her cupcakes, and it turns out that Tolero actually has a little army of ducks that she puts out on Halloween, and Clover had placed the cupcakes behind the ducks, and it looked for all the world like these little ducks were guarding the cupcakes, and that became the duck army.
Well, the duck army is awesome.
And now they are everywhere.
That picture that you, I think it was last weekend that you put up, there are a lot of ducks in the duck army.
It now amuses me when I walk into stores and see that little series of ducks, and I have to take pictures of it and tweet it.
Yeah.
See, every Halloween, Turbine actually hosts like a big party for all of the kids, all the employees' kids, and they get to come and they actually trick or treat throughout the building, which is pretty big. It's kind of a big maze, and they spend, you know, weeks decorating it ahead of time and invite all the kids. And so those ducks are actually something that get given away, and so there are ducks everywhere throughout Turbine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of the pirate ducks were given away this past Halloween.
Yeah, one before that.
And the Halloween costume ducks are Tolero's. And the ones I put up last week, they're actually from a local comic book shop.
Oh, awesome.
They were sitting on their register.
Those are awesome. I just want to say they're awesome.
I think I saw some when I was shopping for toys for Baby Hobbit. I thought I saw... but I think that it was a Halloween time. I think I saw like the pirates and the vampire ducks and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, I have a little glow-in-the-dark vampire duck inside of my computer. he's sitting on one of the coolers from one of my video cards.
Awesome.
The ultimate irony is I don't actually own any of these ducks. I have no ducks. I am, however, a huge fan, and I'm probably going to make people mad, of the Anaheim Ducks, the hockey team. So, have been for years.
Well, rumor shiganders, but we're probably
nice.
Yeah. You know, We're actually some of the least sports orientated people that you'll meet, so
yeah,
we don't care.
We don't care.
Now, if you're talking to our sister-in-law, she will kill you dead for not saying that it's the Detroit Red Wings. Yeah. So.
Well, given how many times the Ducks and Red Wings have had to fight it out for playoff spots, I'm just going to let it go.
Poinky wants to know, since we know that they're really the same person, it would be interesting to know how they decide whether to speak as patients or sapiens. Is it a good cop, bad cop thing?
It depends, you know, since me being the voice actress impersonating patients and all, it depends on my schedule and whether I have other bookings impersonating anyone else.
I think the correct answer is we are Borg.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
And it's funny because in real life, Rick is actually very tall and male. I'm very short
and obviously female. Male, yeah.
And, you know, and it's like we'd be very difficult to mistake for each other.
Okay.
Especially since he can't get those apostrophes straight in text.
Yes. So Requin would like to know, if your team could save one of you from a building, which one would they save?
Clover.
Definitely. Oh. Clover. They'd throw us on the flames.
Tolero would be a close second.
They'd push you out of the way to get to Clover.
Yeah. Yep, Tarrant, they would push off of the building. Yeah,
you know, they'd blame Tarrant for setting it.
That's true. He probably would. He probably did it.
It's true.
And hi, Requin. It's nice to see another Twitter name.
Yeah.
There were a few names, actually, from those questions that I remember that I recognized from Twitter.
He also wants to know, what is on the menu for Mirkwood launch day? Is it pizza, beer?
Hard liquor.
Oh, God, it's probably Chinese food.
Actually, that is up to the operations team. They pretty much dictate the menu during launches and other mission controls and stuff like that. So we don't know, but I'll happily post a message and let everybody know when it happens.
All right.
And Sean D. Law would like to know, where's our chat for DDO, huh? Huh?
You're going to have to talk to Tolero.
Yeah, does he mean a developer chat?
Yeah,
does he mean
like
a podcast? Come on, Sean. He can hit me up on Twitter. He's another one from Twitter. So he can hit me up and clarify. So.
Well, there is DDO cast that I know of.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
I think he was specifically talking about like the Warcry chat.
Yeah, because he answered that right after the Warcry chat.
Oh, so like an IRC chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had actually talked about doing one recently, and then, you know, right before the latest update for DDO, and because I mean DDO has gone through a lot of changes. It's actually doing really well. So we were actually talking about doing one not too long ago. But at the time, our timeline was too short, so we'll probably address that. Over the next, you know, we have Thanksgiving coming up, and then Turbine itself is actually closed for 6 business days in December, around Christmas and New Year's, between Christmas and New Year's. So, you know, our production schedule and things like that, and people start to get very tight. You know, we only do things if we have to.
Right.
And a lot of people take time off. You know, they've been saving up vacation time throughout the year and stuff like that. So we'll see what we can do. But between now and Mirkwood, it's going to be completely nuts. And following Mirkwood, and then hopefully we'll be in a little bit of a lull till the end of the year, and then we'll kick into full steam again.
Yeah, well, like Orion said during the chat, work never ends. You're always doing something. Cycle,
oh, yeah.
Cycle continues.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if I can sneak in a little tiny plug.
Sure.
Warcry chat, there's another one Monday for European players.
Right.
So.
Yep, we're hoping to be
there. Check out Warcry.
We'll be in Dallas, but see if we can swing in there just to say hello and see what's going on and report on it, because that's what we
see
do.
See if they have better questions.
They usually do. Well, I won't say better, but
they ask harder
questions.
Hard questions.
Yeah, the UK has, and this is not to exclude Germany or Australia or anybody else, but the UK has quite a bit of role-playing questions that they'll probably ask, and they have they have other, you know, there's also the discrepancies between Turbine and Codemasters that they'll want to ask about. Like, I know Long Ask is planning to ask about Milotro for Europeans. And I'm sure, you know, we probably have some Japanese players that are still playing come in, and a lot of people that just couldn't make the other
one. We do, actually. I follow one of our Japanese players on Twitter, actually. He's a big fan.
Yeah, I do, too. I think he's posted on...
Venerab,
yep,
right?
Yep. He's posted a couple times, especially when we talked about the Japanese servers closing, unfortunately.
Yeah, one of the things I really love in TweetDeck is the translate.
Yes.
Because <Yeah. laughs> I keep search columns open for all of our games and, you know, mentions of our games and things like that. And a lot of times, you know, I have to translate them because they're in other languages. So.
Yeah, German.
There's a lot of German.
And to be fair, I know you mentioned our UK role players. I got to mention our German role players.
Oh,
they're
yes.
Absolutely yeah. Crazy rabid fans of our game.
Oh, yeah. We have.
Wait, I hope that translates well, Rick.
Yeah.
We have a couple friends who actually live in Germany, and they are huge Tolkien fans.
Oh, yeah, huge. Their wedding was Tolkien.
Yeah. He actually gave Bilbo's little jibe at the end of his wedding speech.
Yeah, I mean, Lotro has done very well in Europe, but I would say it's done really well in Germany.
Yes, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, I liked seeing the pictures from their convention where people were taking shots in front of the green screen.
Very cool.
That's very cool. I like that. So, do you guys have any plugs or anything that you want to plug? Other than, of course, something. I think there's something coming out on December 1st.
Yeah, something. Yeah, something.
I just see. A little.
Really?
I don't know.
I missed a memo or something.
I'll have to check that whiteboard, the calendar. No, I think we're really looking forward to Siege of Mirkwood, you know. I mean, it's always nice to ship them out the door and see people actually finally in enjoying it, you know. So the thing about MMOs is they're such living projects that, you know, you might have a slight lull, but it just keeps going. And it's always cool to see what's coming next, so.
Yeah, I gotta say, this has been the best experience for us as far as MMO goes. Just the fact that we're talking to you, I know plenty of other podcasts that have been running for years for other games that they've never even talked to anybody official from the game.
Oh, yeah. They're all tight-lipped. And, like, when you guys said, oh, yeah, we'll do so, we're like, really? Yeah.
When we first emailed you
they
all.
They were like, crap, what are we going to ask them?
Yeah, Golden Star was like, there's no way they're ever going to talk to us. Well, you never know. Just.
Oh, geez.
But, yeah, so we consider it a huge compliment that you guys took the time to come talk to us. We know you're busy.
We're thrilled to be asked. I mean, you see it every day when you load up one of our games. One of the first things you see is Turbine powered by our fans, and it's not just a slogan. It's a fact.
Right.
We love doing these things.
I actually noticed that your beginning logo did not actually have that, but you've actually switched to that, and that I think
it doesn't Siege of Mirkwood. Yep,
it's huge. It's just huge. I mean, that's
it's funny. It's I think it's always been the Turbine tagline, like
really?
The company slogan.
Mm-hmm.
I have shirts from that were made, you know, before I started that have it on the back. I just for some reason, I guess, you know, at some point maybe someone in marketing decided, oh, well, that's cheesy or something like
yeah.
that, because people do make fun of it, right?
Well,
But when it comes down to it, I mean, it's really true. And I think they're just, you know, starting to realize that, you know, just because somebody thinks it's cheesy doesn't mean that other people don't appreciate it. So.
Well, you can tell them.
I like cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love cheese.
Well, you can tell them.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I tell them when I saw that. And I realized that change had been made, I actually smiled because that means a lot to us as players.
Yeah, I mean, I get gushy over the over the community sometimes. It's just, you know, because it's, again, you know, sounds cheesy, but it's like these games would not be anything if it wasn't for the players. So
absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting because when you guys asked, you know, me to do this, it was one of those things like, what, are you kidding? You don't even have to ask. I love to talk to our players. This is a blast. It's why I have a job, you know?
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we love that.
Yeah.
That means
okay,
we
group
can
hug.
Ask back.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's funny. You know, we were talking about Twitter. I was just thinking about this. One of the things that I miss about not being sort of the community manager for a single community is that really sort of hands-on and that, you know, almost constant interaction with the community and really sort of getting to know individuals within it and, you know, like the community as a whole and just sort of like really feeling that pulse. And, you know, something I kind of miss is I've had to step back and, you know, let other people do that, which was, you know, Rick can tell you. I mean, when he first got there, I was just like probably had a death grip on the Lotro community. And,
it was kind of like a dog with a bone.
I'm like, no, my community.
Get a little too close. There was growling, some teeth.
And I'm like, don't mess with my community, right? I've let go a lot, but that's one of the things that I really enjoy about Twitter in particular, and the Turbine Twitter feed and stuff like that is that there's that interaction there with the community that that is just, I mean, that's what I live for, right? That's what I love.
Oh, and we love it.
See, I started
too.
Gushing.
See, it sounds like she's gushing, and it sounds cheesy, but I actually have a netbook that sits next to my bed, and one of the first things I do every morning is I wake up and I check the forums and I check my email, and one of them is bound to make me sad.
This one we were talking about on the way home from work, so it's not on the list, so if you don't want to answer, it's fine. But we have gotten a couple of comments on our blog recently, and just discussions that there's a fear that, or maybe not a fear, but
I'll stick with fear. Fear works.
Lotro will end up turning into what DDO is now, where it's free with microtransactions. I said, I don't think that's going to happen. They wouldn't make everybody switch to multi-month for Mirkwood for free and then say, guess what? Now it's a free game.
Yeah, well, I would also point out that with DDO, you can subscribe. As a matter of fact, subscriptions went up 80%.
Well, so, I have a longtime person that I've known for several years who is very technical, and his first MMO is DDO, and he's played computer games for a long time. Mm-hmm. But when DDO went free, that was his first MMO.
So it's been that way for a lot of people, actually. I mean, it's funny because it really made sense for DDO, just because of the type of the way it's structured with, Stormreach is not that big, but then you have these big, handcrafted dungeons. And with D&D, it's like you buy your rule books and then you buy your modules, right? And you buy your dice and everything else.
Right.
So for DDO, it made a lot of sense, and it's actually been awesome. It's been really, really good. And it's funny, you look at the hype around it now, and people are like, yeah, I tried it when it came out and I didn't like it. But then, I had 3 years of content updates, before they even did this. And I would say it was really well thought out, so.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's kind of compounded just because of there was people thinking, the Adventurers Pack is just a microtransaction and just waiting to happen. It's opening the doors for it. And then WoW opens up their pets for $10, which is ridiculous, people. That's not a micro anything. But so I think that that's on people's minds, which is why we've been getting comments about it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that people are talking about that at all. So, if that discussion's happening, I haven't heard about it.
Okay.
So,
that's good really, enough. Okay, I think that we've kept you for almost 2 hours. I'm so sorry.
Well, thank you for having
patience. I just looked at the clock and realized that. It was fun.
Yeah, no problem. It just kind of flew by, so.
Well, we'd also like to extend you future invites to the show, if you ever want to, or...
If you have something you have to get off your chest.
Feel free to email us or, send us a direct message or whatever.
On Twitter, all day, all the time.
Yes. So,
absolutely, yeah. Well, next time we're going to have demands. I want a separate dressing room. Being in Megan's bedroom is just kind of freaking me out.
Are those my socks?
Thank Sorry. You so much, you guys, for yes. taking this time. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having us. And actually, thanks for all your support. So your podcast is awesome. And, it's funny. I see, again, just to go back to Twitter real quick, I see people talking about you all the time and talking to you and stuff. I think it's really cool. So.
Yeah, well, anything to avoid work.
That's right.
I hear that.
You should get a job in the games industry.
And you can hang out on Twitter all day. Yeah,
that's right.
What are you doing? Working.
Uh-huh.
I'm tweeting and working.
No, that's that. There's a lot of people out there who do such great work, and not the least of all you two, and everybody else, including Clover and oh gosh.
Don't forget Freelorn, man. Our monster players can be a rowdy bunch.
Yeah, Freelorn treads where angels fear at times.
Yeah, they kill people there.
Yeah.
And then we have Tarrant, who, poor guy, winds up having to do, he does a lot of the moderation, so of course he has to be the bad guy.
Aww.
And he's really not a bad guy at all. So.
Well, please, you know, let everybody know if they would like to come on the show. We'd love to have them, you know. It's just we, you know, we talk to you guys the most just because of your Twitter. But, you know, if any devs or anybody else would like to talk, we'd love to have them, you know. We're more than willing to be a sounding board for them.
Cool.
Oh, and please tell everybody there, thank you so much for building this up. Would you be quiet? I'm trying to talk. Oh my goodness. It says to you, you're putting her in front of that stuff. Tell everybody at Turbine for us, thank you so much for building this great game. We are loving the crap out of it and are having a great time.
Awesome.
That's the kind of stuff we like to hear.
Yep. All right, you guys.
We'll talk to you
later.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You guys have
Take
a great
care.
Night.
You too.
All right.